start on Genesis 27 today, which is the story of how Jacob stole the blessing from Esau. Anita and I thought it might be helpful if we took a high-level overview of this story, actually starting back in chapter 25, where Esau and Jacob are born, before we go into more detail in weeks ahead. So I'll start off by reading once more the passage that we studied some weeks ago in chapter 25, beginning at verse 20. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, a sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." And therefore was his name called Edom, which means red. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we contemplate how you have caused the blessing to be transmitted down through generation after generation, until in the fullness of time it issued in the birth of your Son, we thank you for the assurance that it is your strength and your glory that has caused this to happen. Father, we see in your word great evidence of what earthen vessels you have used to convey this incomparable blessing to mankind. Pray that you would encourage us, Lord, with the steadfastness of your purpose. And help us, Lord, to take instruction even from the errors of the saints of old, so that we might not serve you in the strength of the flesh, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. Pray in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to remind you of three things from this previous passage before we go on into chapter 27. The first is the prophecy that God gave Rebekah in verse 23 when he said that the elder of the two children would serve the younger. And as Esau was the firstborn of the twins, that promise is unambiguous that Esau would then serve Jacob. We don't know anywhere that Rebekah shared that information with Isaac, but it's pretty hard for me to think that she wouldn't have, such a momentous revelation, particularly since she went to inquire of the Lord, and the only person I can think of from whom she would go to inquire of the Lord would have been Abraham. And so this seems to be something that was known within the family, that Jacob would be the preeminent son, that he was the one that God had destined to receive the blessing. So that's the first thing to keep in mind from the earlier story. The second, in verse 28, is the partiality of the parents toward the two sons. Isaac loved Esau, and we're given the reason. Because he did eat of his venison. He liked the wild game that Esau caught and prepared. But Rebekah loved Jacob. We're told that Jacob was a tent dweller. He was more domestic. He was tamed. My understanding is that among the fairer sex, great value is placed, great store is placed in men that have been appropriately tamed. And Jacob was certainly tamed. He was domesticated. He wasn't wild. So Rebekah preferred Jacob. Isaac loved Esau. And that preference was very deep and actually led to a major break within the family, as we'll see. The third thing to see is that in verses 29 to 34, Jacob has already tricked Esau out of his birthright. Now, it's important that you understand that the birthright and the blessing are two different things. The birthright literally means firstbornedness. It is the status placed on the firstborn son of receiving a double portion of the inheritance and being the leader of the family in the next generation. So when the time came for Isaac to divide his inheritance, if he only had two sons, as he does here, he wouldn't divide by two and give half to each. He would divide by three and give two parts to the eldest, the one who held the birthright, the firstbornedness, and a single position, single portion to the other. In addition, it would be the privileged position of the one holding the birthright to inherit the special promise that had been given to Abraham. So the status would have a special spiritual meaning beyond the physical inheritance that was involved. And we discussed this when we studied the passage, how Esau despised it. All he cared about was the double inheritance. He said, that won't do me any good if I die. He didn't think much for the blessing side. Jacob valued that inheritance. The way he went about getting it is not to be commended. Blackmailing or putting pressure on his brother, but at least he valued the inheritance. Now, in the present chapter, chapter 27, we're dealing not with the birthright, but with the blessing. This is the father's prayer to God that God would be bountiful toward a son. Naturally, you'd expect it to go along with the birthright, but it could go separately. Later in chapter 48, when Jacob blesses the sons of Joseph, you may remember the story, how as Joseph brought Ephraim and Manasseh up to Jacob for a blessing, Jacob crossed his hands to put the right hand with the more prominent blessing on the head of the younger child. The father could give the blessing to any son he chose to. It's customary to go to the elder son, but it's ultimately guided by parental discretion rather than birth order. So with that in mind, the main thing I'd like to do today is just read through this story. It's quite extensive. It actually starts at 26, verse 34. And it extends nine verses into chapter 28. Four major paragraphs or scenes in the story. And they're arranged chiastically. In the first and the last, we learn about Esau and his wives. Next in, Isaac calls one of his sons and gives him a charge. First he will call Esau and charge him to go make venison stew. Toward the end, he will call Jacob and charge him to go get a wife in Haran. The next pair of paragraphs deal with Rebekah giving counsel to Jacob. First of all, how to fool his father and get the blessing, and then toward the end, of the importance that he leave town and get out of Esau's way. And in the center two scenes are when the sons bring food to their father and seek to get the blessing. First Jacob and then Esau. So we start with Esau's wife in verse 34. Esau, this is chapter 26, verse 34. Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. That little expression ought to sound familiar. My son, behold, here am I. We'll hear more like that later. He said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. He's eavesdropping. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Remember that expression from verse 4. Make me savory meat such as I love. Rebekah says, I know that recipe. I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go, fetch me them. And he went, and fetched, and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. There we are again. Savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son, Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? There's that familiar sounding expression again. My father, here am I. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his raiment. Remember, Jacob put on Esau's raiment. And he blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat, and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise, and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. His father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he, that is Jacob, said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord. All his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now both brothers have come, presented food, and received a father's blessing. Now in the first half, when Rebekah heard Isaac send Esau out, that led to a conversation with Jacob. Now she's going to hear once again concerning Esau and talk to Jacob. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise. Flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife for the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Now Rebekah has spoken twice to Jacob, and now, just as Isaac summoned Esau in the first half, he summons Jacob and gives him a charge. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. We may have invented in the 20th century the phrase dysfunctional family, but we did not invent the concept. Do these people have a dysfunctional family or what? Here's Esau, who doesn't care at all what his parents think. Runs out, marries a couple of Hittite women, and then is surprised when he doesn't receive his father's blessing. Isaac, trampling roughshod over the prophecy that God had given his wife, that there was the younger son who was to receive the blessing, listens, as one of my seminary professors says, to his mouth and not to his heart. He knows Esau is corrupt. He's going to give him the blessing anyway because he loves that venison stew. Rebekah, instead of being submissive to her husband and praying to the Lord to lead her husband, is going to take matters into her own hand. She's going to see to it that this family does the right thing by God, even if she has to do the wrong thing by God to make it happen. So she's going to scheme and plot in the strength of the flesh to achieve a spiritual end. And Jacob, ever the schemer, is willing to lie directly to his father in order to receive the blessing. It's, what a mess. I was thinking of this last night, and I was thinking, what single thought would summarize the message of this chapter? And it was the verse that we put in the summary in the bulletin from Corinthians. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Here is the treasure, this promise of the Messiah coming down through the ages, given first to Abraham, transmitted to Isaac, and now it's being passed on to Jacob. And with what frailty and weakness of the flesh is it passed on? Did you notice that little phrase that I called your attention to twice, where Isaac calls Esau and says, "My son," he said unto him, "Behold, here am I." And then later, when Jacob comes in and says, "My father," and he says, "Here am I, who art thou, my son?" Where have you heard words like that before? Do you remember? Well, the Lord did call Samuel, but we haven't been there yet. So before this point in Genesis, it would have been some years before, when Isaac was with his father Abraham on the way up Mount Moriah. And Isaac said to his father, "My father." And his father said, "Here am I, my son." And as we've commented, it was there on Mount Moriah that Isaac took his father's faith and made it his own. That was, if you will, where the torch was passed from Abraham to Isaac. In the same way, this chapter is passing the torch from father to son. But what a different picture. Instead of the triumph of faith that we saw in Abraham on Mount Moriah, here we see an absolute catastrophe of faith. And yet, somehow, God's promise is passed on. I found it interesting in thinking about this chapter to think about the four characters who are involved. Lots of conversations going on. Who talks to whom? Well, Isaac talks to Esau. If you count, 14 verses deal with Isaac talking to Esau. And Rebekah talks to Jacob. 12 verses have conversations between Rebekah and Jacob. Isaac talks to Jacob, 16 verses. But in 12 of them, he thinks he's talking to Esau. So he has virtually nothing to do with Jacob until the very end of the story, when he calls Jacob and says, "Please go back to Haran to get a wife. We have enough Hittite daughters-in-law around." So So there's a rift between Isaac and Jacob. There's no conversation between him and Jacob until at the very end. Similarly, Rebekah doesn't say a word to Esau, nor Esau to her. She just hears this rumor that Esau is out to kill Isaac. Verse 42, these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. She doesn't deal at all with Esau. And in only one verse, verse 46, does Rebekah speak with Isaac. Earlier, she overhears his instructions to Esau to go get the venison and make the savory meat. But other than her hearing a rumor about Esau's hatred for Jacob, other than this one verse where she talks to Isaac and where she overhears his instructions, and those four final verses where Isaac speaks to Jacob, the two halves of the family just don't interact with each other. So that preference that we saw back in chapter 25, the partiality of the parents, one for Jacob, one for Esau, split the family right absolutely down the middle. The only thing they agree on is that they don't like Esau's wives. The only agreement between them is right at the very beginning in verse 35 of chapter 26, where we read that Esau's wives were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. So I want to go through the episode paragraph by paragraph and look at specific things. But even I thought it would be important to take a high-level overview and look at this thing. It shows us how a family ought not to function. It warns us of the danger of partiality, of the danger of not communicating. And at the same time, it also assures us of God's sovereign control. That even in a disastrous situation like this one, he is still able to see to it that his purposes are accomplished. At the end, the son who's supposed to receive the blessing does receive the blessing. I think that's why when Esau comes in and Jacob and Isaac realizes that he has been tricked, in verse 33, he says at the end, "Yea, and he shall be blessed." Isaac knows it was Jacob who was supposed to receive the blessing. And he realizes he's been tricked. But he says, you know, shame on me. I was tricked, but only because I was not doing what was right. That blessing is going to stick. It's going to stay because that's where it was supposed to go. So as we think on this chapter and as we go through it in more detail, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead, let's take instruction from it. The weaknesses of a dysfunctional family 4,000 years ago. But let's also take encouragement that whatever tragedies we face, God's purposes will be accomplished. And his blessing on mankind through the Messiah will come. And nothing is able to stand in its way. Not Esau's carnality, not Rebekah trusting in the flesh, not Isaac's hunger for venison over spiritual things, not Jacob's treachery. None of that is going to stop God's purpose from being carried out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples you give us, the sobering ones as well as the godly ones, and we pray that we would receive instruction from them, Lord, and that you would help us to take warning from the errors and weaknesses of these ancient saints. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to work through them, and we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to work with you and not at cross purposes. In our Savior's name, amen. I thought maybe we should sing the family hymn that we have in our binder. Oh, happy home, where thou art loved the dearest. This was not a happy home, but it can give us an example of some behaviors that we can be cautious about as we seek to have homes that do glorify the Lord. Let's sing that as our closing hymn. Oh, happy home.